This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien with Montana Morning News. The inversion holding heavy smoke over western Montana continues to rob wildfires of oxygen and preventing the sun from heating up ground fuels, helping firefighters make progress on fire lines. Fire Information Officer Bob McGregor says the days of lesser activity also get them closer to anticipated fire season-ending weather. Residents of Essex remain under an evacuation advisory as a fire that's burned nearly 1 square mile remains about a mile away from the town on the southern edge of Glacier National Park. Crews planned to do burnout work yesterday on fires in northwestern Montana and northern Idaho. McGregor says firefighters won't have to worry as much about the fires taking off because of the smoke. However, the smoke, as we all know, has led to very unhealthy air quality in St. Mary and the Flathead Valley, along with Frenchtown, Missoula, and Hamilton. The air quality in Libby is hazardous. The smoke is even drifting into eastern Montana now. The state of Montana is dropping a lawsuit against telephone provider CenturyLink after the company agreed to improve the service it provides to rural customers. Landline users such as Virginia, Jamruska, Meisner complained that phone service in remote areas was unreliable and the company took too long to fix it. She says CenturyLink officials met with them and worked out a plan to improve their response times for customer complaints.
Everybody has worked through the process and made concessions to address our public safety issues in our canyon area, and CenturyLink is also working to expand DSL broadband capabilities to many rural places in Montana.
Along with filing a lawsuit against CenturyLink, the State Public Service Commission had threatened to block the company from accepting federal grant money to subsidize high-speed internet in rural areas. This week's agreement clears the way for CenturyLink to receive $90 million from the Connect America Fund over 6 years. Federal prosecutors may seek the death penalty for an 18-year-old man charged in the deaths of a husband and wife who authorities say stopped to offer him help on the side of the road on Montana's Crow Indian Reservation. A new grand jury indictment filed Friday includes death as a possible punishment if Jesus Denise Mendoza of Orland, Wyoming, is convicted of 2 counts of first-degree murder and carjacking that resulted in death. The original indictment filed August 6 sought life in prison for the shooting deaths of 51-year-old Jason Shane, 47-year-old Tana Shane in the town of Pryor. Their daughter, Jora, was wounded in the July 26 shooting. Investigators say the family stopped to help a man who claimed to be having car trouble. They say Denise then demanded money and opened fire after they said they had none. Two former executives of a Chippewa Cree Tribe online lending company have been charged with embezzlement and conspiracy. Neil Rosette and Billy Ann Morsett pleaded not guilty in U.S. District Court in Great Falls. Prosecutors say they embezzled more than $55,000. The estate of a copper heiress has lost a battle to recover over $4 million in donations she gave a New York City hospital where she lived for 2 decades. A Manhattan judge ruled the statute of limitations had expired to argue that the hospital had manipulated Huguette Clark into donating. Clark died at 104. Her father was Montana copper baron and U.S. Senator William A. Clark, who founded Las Vegas. Gallatin County authorities have found the body of a 51-year-old Australian man who had been reported missing. County officials say Jordy Duffy's body was found near a roadway in Hyalite Canyon, south of Bozeman. The statement says Duffy appears to have died of natural causes, but the sheriff's office, coroner's office, and Bozeman police are still investigating. An autopsy will be performed. Montana is withholding payments from a company that botched 3 states' student assessments until overdue results are released. Office of Public Instruction spokeswoman Emily Ritter Saunders says state education officials expect measured progress to provide students test results in the next 2 weeks. Saunders says the office will catch up on at least $118,000 in payments once it receives preliminary data. Measured Progress missed a July 15th deadline in part because additional programming is required to move the data. The company is being held responsible by Montana, Nevada, and North Dakota for widespread technical glitches during testing this past spring. Nevada recently reached a $1.2 million settlement with the company after that state claimed measured progress was in breach of contract. Montana officials have not taken any legal action. It's expected to be another bad day for air quality across most of the state. Libby yesterday became the first location to enter the hazardous air quality category on the State Department of Environmental Quality's air monitoring website.
It's pretty bad out there.
McCulley, public health coordinator for Lincoln County. The hazardous reading on the DEQ website is for a 24-hour average. One-hour averages for the day in Libby yesterday were two notches below the hazardous category at unhealthy.
People want to know why we can't do something about it, but it's just there's a lot of fires in the area.
Air quality is being listed this morning as very unhealthy in Hamilton and unhealthy in Missoula, Frenchtown, Sealy Lake, and the Frenchtown Valley. Other towns in the unhealthy category include Butte, Helena, Great Falls, St. Mary, and Lewistown. Missoula officials are disposing of 16,000 cubic yards of mostly tree limbs that were felled by a windstorm. Hurricane-force winds peaked at 74 miles per hour during the August 10th storm, prompting the city to set up three debris collection sites for residents. The sites are now closed, and the city was left with enough storm-related waste to fill five Olympic-sized swimming pools. City Urban Forester Chris Boza says crews are starting to chip through the debris. They started doing that Monday. He says the cost of the disposal, beg your pardon, will likely be determined this week. U.S. officials and the governors of coal-rich western states continue meeting with Chinese energy officials in Montana today. They're trying to advance so-called clean coal technologies that have struggled to gain traction. Former Montana Senator Max Baucus, who's now the U.S. ambassador to China, says today's meeting can be a stepping stone.
Because I think if we actually do identify specific projects before President Xi's visit to Washington, D.C. at the end of next month, that's going to go a long way to show there's momentum.
The meeting comes as the U.S. coal industry has been taking a beating in recent months. Mining companies have gone bankrupt, and new and proposed clean air rules are squeezing out demand for coal, especially in the face of cheap domestic natural gas. Clean coal technologies purport to capture the greenhouse gases that contribute to global warming, but they're expensive, and efforts to develop them for commercial use have floundered in the U.S. A wildfire that started in the Benchmark area about 30 miles west of Augusta led to the evacuation of recreational cabins in the Lewis and Clark National Forest. The fire was reported early yesterday afternoon. Ground crews began initial attack on the fire but had to withdraw for safety reasons after the fire made several runs in the crowns of trees. Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton says deputies evacuated about 10 cabins along the Benchmark Road. Residents were allowed to retrieve items from their cabins, but there is a roadblock to keep non-residents out. There are about 48 cabins in the area, along with a guest ranch, Forest Service campgrounds, and an administrative site. The fire was estimated at about 30 acres as of last night. Thank you very much for listening. For Montana Headline News, I'm Edward O'Brien.